Well, good evening to everyone. I'd ask that you be turning in your Bibles to the book of Colossians and chapter 4, and that will be our first verse that we turn to this afternoon. Colossians chapter 4. I want to thank everyone again for being back and for another hour of worship together and studying God's Word, and we certainly appreciate your presence. And I've been uplifted and encouraged today so far by the worship that we had this morning, by our opportunity to have lunch over at the Pearson's house today, and then by our continued fellowship here this afternoon. And there is truly nothing that we could do, nowhere that we could be, that would be more important than spending our time together here with God's people and fellowshipping and worshiping our Creator and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, time is a funny thing, isn't it? I've always been kind of fascinated by the concept of time, how it's something that you really can't comprehend. I mean, we know that it just kind of moves along, and yet it's seemingly endless from our perspective. And yet, at the same time, we all individually have a very limited amount of time. And yet, God is sort of outside of that spectrum, outside of that realm of time. It doesn't apply to Him. He is timeless. He's eternal. And it's something that's hard to comprehend. And some days, time seems to absolutely fly. It's just like, where did the time go? And other days you're like, wow, will this ever end? And then when you're young, it seems like, oh, I have to wait a year for my... Oh, next Christmas, it's a year away. And then when you get older, it's like, it just seems like it's just a few days. And here it is again, the next thing. Now I have some theories on how that works, because the older you get, the less a percentage of your life 1 year is. And so maybe it's relative to percentages. I don't know. I'm no mathematician. But we talk about spending time. We talk about making time, which is silly because you can't make it. You talk about wasting time as if it is some sort of animate and quantifiable object that is somehow at our disposal. Well, in a sense, that is true. We can choose how to use or spend our time. And those choices are important. But time in and of itself is simply an idea, a measurement, not an object, not something we can create or buy more of, no matter how much we would like to do that. It isn't something that we can get back, however much we might like to do that. But it is something we can spend and something that we can lose. Therefore, we need to be all the more careful about how we use that time. So I want to ask the question this afternoon, do you know what time it is? Well, it's 2:47. It's worship time. It's time, a different time than we're used to being back here, and hopefully maybe we'll get used to that over the next few weeks or months if we continue to do this. But we all have a very limited and specific amount of time. So what time is it in my life? How am I using the time that I have right now? We all have 60 seconds in a minute, 60 minutes in an hour, 24 hours in a day, 7 days in a week, 52 weeks, or 365 days, or 12 months in a year, 10 years in a decade, 10 decades in a century, and so on and so forth. And how rare it is that someone lives even that century. And you might be thinking, I hope this sermon isn't that long today. We all think about time a lot. But the Bible says actually quite a bit about time. Psalm 103, verses 15 and 16 says, as for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field, for the wind passes over it and it's gone, and its place knows it no more. How quickly in the springtime these flowers come up, and then the blooms, the petals, they're gone. Our life is like that, the psalmist says. James 1:14, for what is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. So how are you spending your time? None of us knows the day or the hour at which our time will run out. And many people say that each part of our lives is the time for this or that. And well, in your youthful years, it's time for you to go and sow your wild oats, do whatever you want to do. While Solomon says just the opposite in Ecclesiastes 12. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth before the evil days come, and your soul says, I have no pleasure in them. And many people might also say, well, as your time grows to an end, it's time to sit back, relax, eat, drink, and be merry, because you've worked, you've done all that you need to do, and so you don't need to work or serve anymore. But that also isn't true. We have to serve God the entirety of our lives. So the question this afternoon is, what time is it in your life? Is it time to serve the Lord, or is it time to neglect Him? What are we doing with the valuable time that He has given us? And that's a key word for us to remember as we go throughout this lesson. Value. Are you valuing that time? Remembering that it is indeed God that has given you that time. Are you wasting it or squandering it? Are you using it wisely? I want us to consider this text here in Colossians chapter 4 as we begin tonight, this afternoon. Chapter 4 and verse 2. Continue steadfastly in prayer, Paul writes, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the word, to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am a prisoner, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. Conduct yourselves wisely towards outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. What should we be doing with our precious time? Well, number one, this afternoon, we need to value it highly because it is of limited supply. You know, it seems, like, as I said, to us, almost endless. But the key word there is almost. Because it's not. It's not endless. We all have a finite amount of time. My time on this earth will end, whether it's because I die or because the Lord returns, my time is going to end. It seems like it'll go on forever, especially when we're young. And so young people tend to act like they've got all the time in the world. They act as if their time will never run out. And yet, again, we are given a limited amount. We are not immortal. Hebrews 9:27 says, just as it is appointed for a man to die once, and after that comes the judgment. So we are each going to meet our Maker, as we like to say. And the problem is that no one knows when that's going to happen. It would sure be nice. But that's not how it works. Mark 13:32, concerning that day or that hour, no one knows. Not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. And so that time is of limited supply. And the other thing that's interesting about it is, it's also in very, very high demand. People want more time. They want to make more time. They want to spend more time doing this or that or the other that they enjoy doing. Everyone wants more time so they can do more stuff. Everyone wants to stay young, right? There's this mystical search for the fountain of youth, right? People have plastic surgery, so they try and keep looking young forever. That's the whole reason for medicine, right? I want to have more time so we don't die. Live longer. I found one thing very interesting that the baseball great Ted Williams, supposedly, I think this is true, had himself cryogenically frozen. In case they ever figure out a way in the future to bring somebody back to life, he can have some more time. I got some bad news for him. I don't think that's going to work. It's a very high demand. And because of that, because it is of limited supply and high demand, that's what makes it so valuable. That's the clear law, the most basic law of supply and demand in economics is if something is of short supply and high demand, guess what? The value skyrockets. You cannot buy more time, though. No matter how much money you have, no matter how much influence or power you have, it's simply given. And it is given by the Creator. And we cannot do anything to change how much of it we have. But the good news is that very much can be done with little. If we apply ourselves. If we don't want to see things go to waste. If we are ready and willing to work. We can use our God-given blessings to make the most of our time. So are we adequately valuing the time that He has given us? And that's really the crux of this, is waste little. Make the best use of your time. Now imagine that you were given $86,400 every single day. Imagine that. Wouldn't that be awesome? $86,400 I'm going to give you every single day for the rest of your life. What would you do with it? what would you do? I mean, I'd be going crazy. I would do all kinds of things. I don't even know. I don't even know where I would start. But regardless of what you do throughout the day, at the end of that day, anything left over that you didn't spend, it's gone. You can't roll it over. You can't save it. What would you do then? Well, at the end of the day, anything you didn't spend, you would probably set up some sort of way to make sure that it went to a good use. You know what? Maybe you would make it automatically roll over at 11:59:59 to your kids' college fund or to some charity or to the church. You would make sure it didn't go to waste. Well, guess what? That happens to us every day. We are given 86,400 seconds in every single day. They're given freely, but they expire, and we cannot get them back. They are valuable, and yet so often we frivolously waste them. Turn with me over to Ephesians chapter 5 and look at verses 15 through 17. I made brief reference to this morning. In Ephesians 5 and verse 17, Paul says, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." He says here, we have to make the best use of our time. Walk carefully. Again, this is how I'm going about my day-to-day activities. How am I using my time? Walk carefully. Make the best use because the days are evil. Don't be foolish. Understand the will of the Lord. And we'll look at those things as we go through. And then also over back in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 5, as we read just a few moments ago, Colossians 4 and verse 5, he again says, make the best use of the time. Twice, Paul uses the same phrase. Make the best use of the time. Do not frivolously waste it. But I think all of us, if we're honest with ourselves, would admit, you know, I've wasted a pretty good bit of time. I'm alive. I have not always done everything I could do. I've not always used it to its fullest potential. Why don't we make the best use of our time? Well, again, I mentioned this morning as well. Oftentimes, our priorities, they're just out of whack. We fail to determine what those priorities actually ought to be. We don't have God at the number one spot. We don't have others in the number two spot. And sometimes there's nothing there. Sometimes we just don't even have any priorities, so we just, well, I'm just going to kind of fiddle away. In Isaiah 55 and verse 2, the Lord counsels us. He says, "Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good and delight yourselves in rich food." Why are you wasting all your time, efforts, energy, money on things that aren't important? Things that aren't bread. What he means is true spiritual food. Why are you wasting your money on things that don't matter? Things that don't satisfy? Things that don't get you anywhere? Why are you working for that which doesn't satisfy? It's a waste of your time. He says, "Come to me for what is good. Eat what is good. Delight yourselves in rich food." He's talking about spiritual things. Our priorities have to be in line. What are we investing our efforts, our time, and our money in? Because, frankly, that's going to show, where we spend our time is going to show what's most important to us. And so once we've determined that God must come first, then we have to effectively plan how to use our time. And that's the second mistake that people tend to make. Well, they fail to plan at all. They fail to plan effectively. They're content to just wing it, fly by the seat of your pants, no plans at all. Are we planning? Are we planning what we're going to do with our lives, with our spiritual lives, more importantly? You know, in Luke chapter 14, Jesus talks a little bit about the cost of discipleship. And he goes into this discourse about, well, if you go and you sit down, you're going to build a house, you're going to build a tower, you better figure out how much it's going to cost to build it. Otherwise, you start building it, you lay the foundation, then you can't finish it. Everybody's going to laugh at you, to paraphrase it. And then he goes on to say, well, and what if you're a king and you're going to go out to battle, you had better first sit down and count the cost and see if you've got enough manpower and expertise to go against a bigger army. Can you win that battle? Otherwise, you better ask for terms of peace. You always have to plan out anything. No one sets out on a mission without a clear-cut plan. And Jesus' point there is that you as a Christian, if you're going to do this, you had better be sure you are ready to pay the price. And you had better plan to make it successful. And we are on a spiritual mission to heaven. Therefore, we have to have clear-cut plans on how to get there. We need to have plans for study, plans for growth, plans for worship, plans for how we're going to be custodians of our family, plans for everything. I mean, God had a plan, thankfully. God had a plan for the saving of mankind from the very beginning in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 10. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 10 says, a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in Him, things in heaven and things on earth. God had a plan of redemption. In chapter 3 and verse 9 also He says, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things. He had a plan for us. So my responsibility in turn is to have a plan for Him. He planned for my salvation. I had better plan to take advantage of it. So what are we planning for? A lot of the time, yeah, we plan for things, but we plan for things that don't really matter. We plan for college. We plan for our kids' college. We plan for our house. We plan for a new car. We plan for retirement. How about heaven? How much time do we spend planning for heaven? How about scheduling all our days so that we make an effort to spend more time with God in prayer and study rather than making Him an afterthought? I'll get to it if I have time. Because what happens is we fill our days with so many things that we don't have time for God anymore. We spend it frivolously. Oftentimes, that happens. We lose time because we fail to plan effectively and we fail to say no to things. Sometimes we just have too much on our plate. You know, we pile things on, right, until that 86,400 seconds today just aren't enough and we run out of time. And I'm just as guilty of that as anybody else. And we say, yeah, okay, yeah, somebody asks us, sure, I can do that too. Well, maybe, but probably not without pushing something else to the side. And oftentimes that thing ends up being our spiritual lives. We have to learn to say no sometimes. Once we get through with work and the kids' school and the sports programs and the cooking and the cleaning and the party planning and the class taking and the social gathering and the traveling and the eating and the sleeping and whatever else, there is no time left for God, for worship, or for study. Let us not fail to keep focus on our priorities, to plan effectively, and sometimes even to say no, to waste it little. And once we have planned, then we have to use it wisely. And what Paul says there, again, in Ephesians chapter 5, is that we ought to understand what the will of the Lord is. And what is His will? Well, His will, very simply, at its basic form, what He wants for me in my life, how He wants me to spend my time, is in service to Him. At its most basic form, He wants us to use the time He has given us for His will and His glory. How do I do that? Well, thankfully, Paul tells us in our thesis text for the night. He tells us in Colossians chapter 4. Number one, you need to be continuing steadfastly in prayer. Chapter 4 of Colossians in verse 2, with thanksgiving. Praying for opportunities to declare the mystery of Christ. Verse 3, he says, pray for us that God may open us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ. Again, so if I'm using my time wisely, that means that I am praying for opportunities to spread the gospel. I mean, what better time could I use of my time could I have than trying to teach someone the gospel? Continuing in prayer steadfastly with thanksgiving, praying for opportunities to declare the mystery of Christ. Also, conducting ourselves wisely toward outsiders. Again, I'm acting as a Christian. People can see Christ in me. Chapter 4 and verse 5. Conduct yourselves wisely towards outsiders, making the best use of the time. I can't be wasting my time going out and acting like everybody else. It's not a wise use of my time. It's not understanding the will of the Lord. It's not glorifying and serving Him. I need to let my speech be gracious. In Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. So whatever I do, I am trying to build others up with the way that I speak. And then finally, he says, don't be foolish. Back in Ephesians chapter 5. Do not be foolish, but rather remember what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Verse 18. You know, what's the thing about... He says, don't be drunk with wine. Well, why? You know, why? What's the point? Why doesn't God want us to do that? What's the big deal? Everybody does it. Well, it's about losing your sobriety. If you lose your sobriety, you are not in control of what you are doing. If you lose your sobriety, it's very difficult to have your speech be gracious, seasoned with salt. It's very difficult to conduct yourself wisely towards outsiders. If you lose your sobriety, it's very difficult to use your time to its utmost potential. That's why that's a problem. So don't be foolish. Don't lose your sobriety. Don't waste your time. But rather, don't be filled with wine. He makes this contrast. Be filled rather with the Spirit. Always doing the work of the Spirit and producing the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5. And finally, he says to do all to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31. We need to remember that we are always on God's clock. And I think that's hard for us to remember. Again, it's this perspective of here we are, we're fleshly, we're humans, we live in this physical world, and everything is physical, physical, physical all the time. And so it's hard for us to focus on the spiritual. It's hard for us to remember time is limited. It's hard for us to remember we're serving someone that we don't see. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31, he says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do. I mean, that's pretty all-encompassing, right? I think a lot of times we want to limit. Well, my service to God is well, it's, you know, when I come to the building and when I spend my time, you know, doing this, that, you know, or in my private study, that's my service to God. Well, no. I mean, it's whatever you do. That is all-encompassing. Whether you eat, drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Everything we do, we are doing to serve Him, to do His will, to do Him glory, and we are doing it on His clock. And because we're doing it on His time that He has given, that only He can give, then we have to do it to His glory. And that means that I can't be lazy. I cannot be a lazy servant. What does God consider servants that are lazy? Over and over again, He calls them wicked. Wicked, lazy slaves. So don't be lazy. We cannot be like the servant in the parable of the talents in Matthew 25, who, what did he do? Well, two of the servants, they went and they made the best use. In this instance, it was time and money. They made the best use of the money that they were given by their master and the time that he was gone, to double his money. But the wicked, lazy slave, he was fearful what he'd do. He went and dug a hole and hid it in the ground. And it's interesting, he doesn't call him. I mean, he says, you're lazy. He did not use what the Lord had given him. And God doesn't take kindly to lazy servants, for they're really no servant at all. So that means that we have to, in our time here, our short time that we are given, we have to be working. So what work are you doing for the Lord? Are you looking for opportunities to grow your faith? Are you looking for opportunities to spread the gospel? Are you looking for opportunities to serve your fellow man and your fellow brethren? Are you praising God with every new opportunity? There's a song in our songbook, number 116. It's entitled, Work for the Night is Coming. And it's based off of John chapter 9 and verse 4, which says, the night cometh when no man can work. In other words, time it's coming to a close. And I just want to read that song to you. Verse 1. Work, for the night is coming. Work through the morning hours. Work while the dew is sparkling. Work mid springing flowers. Work when the day grows brighter. Work in the glowing sun. Although around here that might be work in the falling rain. Either way, we got to work. It's rain or shine. Work for the night is coming, when man's work is done. Verse 2, work for the night is coming, work through the sunny noon. Again, this author clearly never came to the Pacific Northwest. Fill the brightest hours with labor, rest comes sure and soon. Give every flying minute something to keep in store. Work for the night is coming, when man works no more. Work for the night is coming under the sunset skies. While their bright tents are glowing, work for the daylight flies. Work till the last beam fadeth to shine no more. Work while the night is darkening, when man's work is o'er. So what are you doing with your time? Paul says that the time is now. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, well, actually, let's back up to verse 1. He says something actually very clear, very, very key here. Working, there's that word again, working together with Him, whatever we do, do all to the glory of God. We appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For He says, in a favorable time I have listened to you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Well, what's he doing here? He's quoting from Isaiah chapter 49 and verse 8. And he's taking that and applying it and saying, okay, God prophesied this. There's going to be a time of salvation. And he says at the end of verse 2, behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. The time is now. And that's really the answer to the title of our lesson this afternoon. Do you know what time it is? The time is now. Now is the favorable time. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the time to take hold of the grace of God, of the gifts that He has given, of our short time on this earth, and of the gift of salvation in His Son, Jesus Christ. Are you using it wisely? Do not boast about tomorrow, for tomorrow may never come, James 4:13. We do not know. Are you using it wisely? So if you're here tonight and you've been thinking about these things, why don't you come now? Use this time that God has given you to obey Him, to become His child before your time runs out. Now is the favorable time. Now is the day of salvation. If there's anyone here that needs a response to the gospel, won't you do so now while we stand and while we sing?